grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. I am going to come right back here and sit down. So I want you kids to turn around this way. Okay, great. So today I want to talk to you. What do you think of our well?
It's tiny.
It's tiny. Yeah. Well, you know, the church isn't that big to pick a big well. And how long would it take me to dig a well that would be big? So I only dug a small well. You can't do everything. I actually didn't dig, but I did build. So anyway, the well. We come to the well to get what we need. We come to a well to get what we what is going to help us live. In the story today, you'll hear about a woman going to the well to get what you usually get out of a well. What's that?
Water.
And then she hears a story from Jesus that's an amazing story. You'll hear that in Sunday school. But today, I brought a pig to talk to you about stewardship. Now, have you any of you heard that word before, stewardship? What does it mean? Do you know what that means? Well, it's an interesting word. We usually use that word when we talk about giving money or sharing our resources. And we share, and we call that stewardship. So you'll hear some people in church talk about our stewardship. That means how much money people are putting in their envelopes and offering to the church so that we can do the ministry of the church, so that we can buy paper to cover boxes to make a well, so that we can buy bread and wine for communion, so that we can buy candles, so we can pay the electric company,
so we can keep the roof up.
All of those things, that's part of our stewardship, but our stewardship also is helps us to help other people. Maybe we will buy food for hungry people, buy food for homeless folks, or buy things to send across the seas to people who are starving, living in the desert, hungry, and in a refugee camp maybe. Well, this pig is a good blue pig, and it's a good reminder of what stewardship is, because the word stewardship, which means sharing, this word stewardship comes from the word sty master, sty warden is the word. The sty warden is the guy who takes care of the pigs. He doesn't own the pigs, he just takes care of them. So when we take care of what's given to us into our care, we are stewards. We're not sty wardens. We are stewards, taking care of what has been given to us. Everything that we have belongs to
government.
Well, in one way, you're right. But I'm even going to go beyond that. Everything that we have comes from God. God owns everything. Who made the world and all that is in it? God did. And so everything that we have belongs to God. And we are called to be good stewards. That means we have to share the things that God has given us to take care of. So this bank is going to help you. I'm going to give that one to you. Each of you is going to get a bank. Jennifer, could I ask you to help me do that right now?
Sure.
They're right here. They're not in the well. They would be drowned then.
They're plastic.
They would float. except they have holes in them. So this hole is to share, and this is what we do. We put 10% in the share.
So a dime?
A dime. If I gave you 10 dimes, if I gave you 10 dimes, that would be how much?
$1.
Okay, so you put the first 10 goes in the share, and that's the first thing you do. No matter how much money you get, the first 10% goes in the share slot. The second 10% goes in the save slot. So you can save for something that you want, save up. If you want to buy something special, you go 10%, you have to save it up. So that goes in the save. And then 80% goes in the spend, and that's for you to do with whatever you want. So how much goes in the share? What percent?
10.
You can have one too. Yeah, there you go. 10% goes in the share. How much goes in the save? You don't open them. There's a slot. Oh, you pull this out. When it's time to bring your money to church, everything that goes in the share, you bring to church when it's time. You don't have anything in it right now. So I have this little box that sits on my counter at home, sits on my kitchen counter, and I put all my change in here. So I'm going to give you your allowance today, and we're going to practice tithing. A tithe means 1/10. So I'm going to give you some money, and then you're going to practice tithing, and then you get to keep that. But remember, the tithe part, which is the share, how much goes in there?
10%.
Okay. Okay, so put your hand out. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4. I dropped one. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Practice doing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, please. Put one goes in the, put the first one in. The first one has to go in the share. The first one goes in the share. Did you put one in the share? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, you put a lot more in the share. Okay. You put 10% in the share, 10% in the spend. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Put the first one, the very first thing you do. So if you got a dollar for your birthday, what would you do? How much goes into the share? Into the share. If it was dimes, if your Danielle, did you get some? Okay. Did everybody get some money? Did everybody get money in their bank? So if you got money at Christmas time or for your birthday, the first thing you do is to figure out how much is 10%, and that goes into the share. Then 10% goes into the save, and then the rest goes in. 80% you can do with whatever you want, and that goes in the spend. Oh, good sharing, good sharing. And now the share part stays at church. Or you bring the share part into church when you come on church. So pull the yellow thing off and then dump it upside down.
How do you open it?
You pull off the little thing.
I got it.
There, okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, put your share part in here.
I can't open this thing.
Okay. They're not easy to open. Okay, dump it in here. Okay, your share. Your share part goes in here. Now you're going to take these banks home. And when you get money, then you can put them. Okay.
I have a lot of money.
That goes in there. Okay. And then this goes back in here. Okay. Then. Then maybe your Sunday school teachers can help because we're getting a little over time here. So, all right. So you can take these banks, take them home, bring the share part back to church with you on Sundays. But here's a bank for you to share, to send, and to save. All right, off to Sunday school.
Reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Zin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 95 responsibly. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice. Harden not your hearts, as in Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the desert. There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works. 40 years I loathed that generation, saying, "The heart of the people goes astray. They do not know my ways." Indeed, I swore in my anger, "They shall never come in my rest." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be seated. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, "Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John," although it's not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. A Samaritan woman came to draw water.
"Give me a drink."
"How is it that you, a Jew, would ask me for drink, a woman of Samaria.
If you knew the gift of God and who it was that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and whose sons and flocks drank from it?
Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty and will not have to keep coming to this well to draw water.
Go, call your husband, and then come back.
I have no husband.
You are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.
Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you all say that the place the people must worship is in Jerusalem.
Woman, believe me, the time is coming when you, all of you, will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
I am the one who is speaking to you.
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want? Or, why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city.
Come and see a man who has told me everything I ever done. Could he be the Messiah? Can he be the Messiah?
They left the city and were on their way with him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something.
I have food to eat that you know nothing about.
The disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat.
My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not have a saying? 4 months more, and then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around. See that the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps.
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Because we know this story of Jesus, we aren't too surprised by the story of Jesus at the well with the woman in Samaria. Because we know that Jesus came for all people. And we know that Jesus gave special attention to those who were on the margins of society, those who were alone. But there was a time before the lonely and the marginalized had any way of knowing this about Jesus. John, the gospel writer, wants to take us back to a time before we knew this too. He wants us to be surprised and transformed as much as the woman at the well. This unnamed woman comes to the well with no reason to expect that anything in her life is going to change. Not today, probably never. As a Samaritan, as a woman, and as a person who has been discarded numerous times, she has at least three reasons, probably more, not to hope that Jesus would have anything to offer her. But Jesus shows her that God is up to something new. This encounter starts out with an ordinary request. Jesus asks her for a drink of water. And she knows that this is, although a simple request, is a transgression of boundaries. A Jew talking to a Samaritan. A man talking to an unaccompanied woman that he's not related to, especially a woman with no social standing. And now Jesus takes this opportunity to speak of a different kind of water, a water that quenches every thirst, that gushes up eternal life for all who drink it. And Jesus pushes that conversation along, speaking of a time when divisions between God's peoples will be healed, when true worship will be neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, when all people will worship together in spirit and in truth. The woman has some clue of what he is implying. She too has been waiting for the Messiah, waiting for God's kingdom. And at this moment, everything changes. I am, Jesus says, I am the Messiah. From that moment on, the woman's story changes. Her life shifts. For now she is claimed as part of God's kingdom. She was an outsider, but not any longer. She was alone, but now she's part of the family of God, gifted and welcomed with living water. In listening to this exchange, we are invited to forget for a moment that we know the rest of the story. We are invited by the gospel writer to stand with this woman, thrilling at this moment of the once forgotten person hearing that she is loved, hearing that she is valued, hearing that the Messiah has not only come, but has come for her. This is our moment too. We are called to remember that water has given us life. The water and the word that calls us to be about the work that has been entrusted to us by Jesus. The gospel writer says to us, don't be like the disciples who want to question Jesus. Why are you speaking to her? Don't be like them. But we are often like that, the questioning disciples. We certainly have those questions in our minds. Jesus, I know that you love everyone, but really? You certainly don't mean those people. You don't mean that we should love them. You don't, do you, Jesus? But this is exactly what Jesus means. Jesus does mean all people. God's love is for everyone. There are still people at the well in the heat of the noonday sun. There are people at the well who have been written off by society, excluded or ignored. And the gospel pushes us toward those people with a word of hope that sees no barriers of race or gender, of nationality or religion, of marital status or anything else that the world says should separate us. In Christ Jesus, all such division is transcended and healed. We are sent to those who are so thirsty for welcome, so thirsty for inclusion, so thirsty to be known, to be loved, thirsty to be valued for their humanity. We are pushed toward those people with that word from Jesus Christ. We, the baptized people of God, his beloved sons and daughters, are called to welcome these others in these life-giving baptismal waters. We are invited to be surprised and transformed today and every day by that most amazing love of God for us. Stay thirsty, my friends. Seek the life-giving water of Jesus Christ and invite others to come and see. Amen.